We are in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, as we finish up our lessons on faith. And we are admonished here in this passage to look unto Jesus. And I trust that you have come to Sunday school and that throughout the week, you look unto Jesus. But wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Notice that contrast. Joy and endurance. Joy and endurance. That connection of joy and endurance. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his faithful Apostle Paul, in this short passage, has us picture a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and are specifically listed in chapter 11, which we have studied in detail. Studying these men and women of faith that he describes here as a great cloud of witnesses. And this great cloud of witnesses witness to those of faith. If you're of faith, they witness to you. They speak to you of their faith that you might have faith. Now, this is not an insignificant thing, but a major thing that is to move us to continue in the faith. You know, I find that we need to be moved. You know, it's so easy to sit in that easy chair and not be moved. But the Bible is given to us that we are moved. We're moved and pushed to serve the Lord. We have that old nature that just kind of gets in the way all the time. But this cloud of witnesses is to move us to continue in the faith, knowing that we also belong to that great cloud of witnesses for those who will come after us. We join that great cloud of witnesses for those that come after us. You know, our faith, as did theirs, will witness to others. To our loved ones, to our friends, to our work fellows, and even strangers, our faith is to witness to others. As they see men and women of faith walking in this veil of tears, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they are to see our faith. And that is to be a witness to them. We are compassed about. We are surrounded by witnesses almost as if we are being embraced. You know, if you love God's Word and you get acquainted with all of these folks that we've looked at in the Old Testament, they become your friends. They become personal to you. They embrace you with their faith. And in that embrace, we are encouraged to keep on keeping on in the faith, that all glory will go to that one in whom our faith rests. You know, our faith is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a coach would encourage his team, we are encouraged to have a mind that moves us to have a walk of faith that grows. Oh, how we need to grow. You know, most of us, and I include myself, we get to a plateau. Oh, this is a comfortable plateau. I think I'll rest here. I'll just do it for a little while, but that little while may go a little longer and longer, and pretty soon that's your level. But this cloud of witnesses encourages us to grow in a walk of faith that gives us an ever-improving ability to serve the one in whom we have that faith. You know, God expects us to grow. Every plant that He has, everything that's living, He expects to grow, and He expects those to grow in faith. Therefore, as an athlete examines his body to ensure that he is ready in all ways for the race, we are to examine ourselves to see if we are ready to run with patience the race of faith that is set before us. We're to examine ourselves. What's going on with ourselves? Why am I not progressing? Or am I progressing? And if I'm progressing, how am I progressing? How am I moving for God? We are to be at our lightest weight. And therefore, we are to shed those things. I'm talking spiritually here. I'm not talking about your weight. Although you may have to do something about that too. But we're to shed those things, weights and sins which so easily hold us back. Oh, there's so many things that we carry. You know, as I get older, I can't carry as much as I used to. You know, I used to be able to lift 100 pounds, and now I can lift 20. And 20 is heavy. You just can't carry as much. But as a Christian, I'm supposed to carry more. And as we run the race, our focus is to be on the finish line where the author and finisher of our faith awaits our arrival. The Lord Jesus Christ is awaiting our arrival, for He has laid out the course that each of us is to take as we run the race, a race where we all arrive at the same finish line, where all of us have a place prepared by His hands. Aren't you looking forward to that? Oh, He told us. He says, if I wasn't going to do this, I wouldn't have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. The finish line of the race is where I'm headed. But this race is indeed a marathon. This race courses through the city in ways the runner may never have imagined. You know, you look back on your life and you say, boy, I would have never imagined this kind of life if it's a walk of faith. You know, God is an interesting God, and He makes things interesting for people who walk the walk of faith. He runs He operates the course. He lays out the course. And the runner goes through all kinds of difficult and challenging places. You know, a marathon doesn't have level ground all the way. God's hills and dales and valleys and rough roads and smooth roads, all kinds of different roads that the runner has to prepare for. But faith recognizes that the runner does not choose the course. Faith recognizes that the author of the race sets the course. So we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before Him. Now, this is the focus of faith. You know, where does faith ask you to focus? It asks you to focus on God and what God has for you. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Can you imagine the shame that our Lord went through as He dragged His cross through those dirty, dusty streets with the jeering and all the hate-filled venom that was lamed His way as the blood coursed from His head? Oh, can you imagine the shame? Oh, He despised it and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But that's where He was headed. So we are given to recognize a great cloud of witnesses who are there to encourage us to enter the race And we are given Jesus, who we are to look to as we run the race. Focus on Christ. That's what our lives are to be. As we run the race of faith, we're to focus on Christ, looking unto Jesus. Jesus authored our faith. Jesus is the finisher of our faith, and he is our example of faith, for he looked beyond his present circumstances. You know, that's what we're, you know, our present circumstance, we got it pretty good. But there are folks in this world that don't have it pretty good. They've got to look beyond those present circumstances, and so do we. We may be going through troublesome times. We may be going, and you may have troublesome times ahead of you. You may have terrible times tomorrow. Who knows what comes into your life? But he saw that which moved him to endure. That's what faith brings. For he saw that which was beyond the torture of this world, great joy, which resulted in his setting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, I can imagine that meeting in heaven after the blood was shed. And God, the Father, invited him home. Sit down, son, on the throne of God. But Paul uses the name Jesus, and by doing this, we are to focus on his humanity. That's what this is about here. For he lived a perfect life, and he showed us how to live this life by faith in God. He was tempted by Satan, but he overcame Satan. Faith in God will also bring us through this. Satan will tempt you, but faith in God gives you the power to overcome Satan. His life taught us to trust in God completely, telling us that he could do nothing of himself. You know, we can do nothing spiritually of ourselves. We must trust in God. Jesus wrote the book on faith. He is the author of our faith. The primary sense of the word author is one who brings or causes to come forth. You know, we have authors here in this auditorium. Mrs. Hobbs, an author. She brings forth. She comes and shows us a book. Never been done before. Never been seen before. Holds up the book. Ooh, look at that. She authored the book. Brought it to come forth. To be an author, then, is to produce something. To bring something forth. An author is one that creates or brings something into being. An author is the first mover of anything. An author is the cause of a thing. You know, when Jesus spoke with authority, the people were astonished. You know, you see that a little bit today. When somebody speaks with authority, what's going on here? This is so unusual. You know, you see it a little bit in the political realm. I'm not going to go into that. But you see somebody, now they may know nothing, but they speak with authority. And the world is, what's going on here? We're not used to this. And the same thing occurred with Jesus. They were astonished. But remember, the word authority contains the word author. For when Jesus spoke, he was the author of the Word of God. You know, his words are from cover to cover in this book. He authored this book. Jesus taught the people as one having authorship and not as one who interpreted the author. You know, he wasn't one that had a book reading and wonder what the author thought here. He said what it was. He spoke with authority. He taught them as one who wrote the law and not simply as one who interpreted the law. Jesus, in being the author of our faith, means that he is the source of life, salvation, and the leader of the way of faith. Jesus, who is the Word of God, goes before us, showing us how to live by faith in God alone. You know, a lot of folks, they live by faith, but it's not in the right source. It's not in the right place. We read in Hebrews 2:9 and 10, But we see Jesus, again, looking unto Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Praise God. Jesus tasted death for me. You know, if I tasted death, it would be doomed for eternity. But Jesus tasted death for me and raised me up from the miry clay that I could have life eternal. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons. My name's right in there. Do you see your name in there? Is your name in there? Many sons unto glory. You want your name in there. Parentheses, your name in there. If your name's not in there, you're doomed. You're going to hell. Is that what you want? Want to play around? Is that all you want to do with your life is play around? There's a cause here to make him the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. Isn't the word of God marvelous? So as the captain of our faith, we're to follow him in all ways, for he is also the finisher of our faith. Don't look for another. Don't look for anyone else. He's the finisher of our faith. You know, John the Baptist, poor John was in the prison. Talked about some woman. That'll get you in trouble. You know, criticize the king's supposed wife or daughter or whoever. Oh, that'll get you in trouble. But he was in prison, and if you were in prison, maybe you'd begin to doubt also. Oh, Lord, why am I in prison? I'm supposed to proclaim the word of God, and here I am in prison. So he began to doubt. And in doubting, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus asking, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Oh, he was doubting. Is Jesus the one? Or do we look for another? John was questioning whether or not Jesus was the finisher of our faith. Jesus, are you just another step to take along this road of faith, leading us to another who will lead us along the path to God? Are you just another one? Oh, we've had prophets of old. Are you just one of the prophets? Jesus sent John's disciple back to John, telling them to provide witness of the things that they saw and heard, telling him that the blind receive their sight. Have you ever had a prophet do that before? And the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor hear the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He was telling John, don't be offended. There's not another to come. So Jesus is the finisher of our faith, and we are never to be offended in him, thinking that another is to come who will add to what Christ has authored, for the book is finished. Praise God, this book is finished. I don't have to wonder, is there another edition coming down the pike? Does somebody have additions to this that may change this and I might lose my salvation? No, the book is finished. The word of God is spoken, and we are to walk with him only along the path of faith. Now, Paul added to this instruction when he told the Philippians in 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will stop? No, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm a work of God, and he's working on me. He's helping me, and he's going to keep on working on me until he calls me home. Isn't that wonderful? So Paul is saying here that Christ is the end all of faith. For when he said on the cross, it is finished, He assured us that the course of faith that he has laid will indeed lead to God and will lead us to our home with God in heaven. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Say you're going on a safari. And the guide says, well, you know, the safari goes from here to here. So you go on that safari thinking that you're going to end up here. And he says in the middle of the safari, well, I'm leaving now. You'll have to get somebody else. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I hired you to lead me home. Well, you'll have to get someone else. Well, Jesus isn't like that. His map is perfect, with no detours, no errors, and no faults. It is a perfect course, authored and finished by the perfect God-man Jesus Christ. It is a course traveled first by Jesus. He checked it out. He made sure it was the right course, laid it out. And along that course, he endured the cross. And upon that cross, he bore our sin. But in bearing our sin, he looked by faith and saw the joy that was set before him. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you look by faith the joy that's set before you? And that encourages you to keep on keeping on, walking by faith, serving the Lord, doing right, regardless of what comes down the pike. Listen, there's a lot of things coming down the pike. Look around you. You're going to have to face things. Your children may have to face things that you never faced before. But he saw this torturous act put upon him would result in bringing him many sons unto glory. He saw his authored and finished course of faith bringing glory to his Father. Oh, that was important. I've got to do this, that glory may go to God. For in this course, he completed the work given to him by the Father. He saw his triumph over the world. He saw his triumph over the flesh and the devil, bringing great joy in heaven. He saw the bride, talked about the bride this morning, but he saw the bride for whom he had laid down his life, gathered together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, it's always, you always look forward to a marriage. It's a wonderful thing. So-and-so's getting married down the line. You always look forward to that. There's great joy in the preparation for the marriage. And Jesus prepared the way to that. He saw his great rule upon the throne for 1,000 years in the holy city descending above the earth. And he saw eternity ushering in and the new heaven and the new earth and pleasures forevermore, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, despising the shame. So do we who walk along the road of faith need another? No, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. These compromisers in the world that bring up other saviors. Baloney. That's a bunch of hogwash. The Bible is clear. The Bible is very autocratic, very authoritative. There is none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. So if you think you can save yourself by pulling up your bootstraps, take off your boots, throw them away. They won't work. But there has never been another, nor will there ever be another, who has endured a greater trial of faith than has Jesus, who has endured the cross. You know, think about the glory. Think about the perfect fellowship Jesus had with his Father in heaven. Think about the eternity that they spent in heaven creating the universe. Think about all those things of glory. And he condescended. He condescended to come to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, it's impossible for us earthbound, sinful creatures to even know such a condescension. We won't condescend to pick up a piece of trash in the bathroom. You know? Oh, that's lower than me. Oh, how'd you like Jesus Christ to say that about his condescension? I'm not going there. Look at those people. They're not worth saving. Who loves those? But God is love. And he condescended to come to this earth to save sinners. He willingly, in obedience to his Father, left perfect holiness in a perfect place to come to this place of evil and sin. You know, and when he came, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have done that. But he willingly yielded himself to evil and sinful men who killed him for their own measly, puny benefit. Can you imagine that? Some benefit. Oh, Judas, I got 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. At the price of silver today, it's depressed, you know. And he threw it away and hung himself, which was the proper thing to do. At least he had that much integrity. But we're taught here in Hebrews 12 that faith moves us to see what Christ saw, the joy that was set before him, for we too by faith are given a glimpse of what awaits us in heaven, where we will go to be with Christ. And going to be with Christ, we go, as Romans 8:17 declares, as children, heirs. Isn't that amazing? You're not just going there to receive nothing, no status, no benefits, but we're told we're going as heirs. You know, it's great to be an heir. All of a sudden you get something from someone that went before and they remembered you. And they put you in their will. Well, Jesus Christ has put us in his will, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We're heirs. So we are to be walkers of faith. At times we are to be runners of faith. But as we live by faith, we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus. You know, we all live in this highly intensive world where Satan has packed the world where the eyes can be busy at all times. You think about the devices that we have in this world where our eyes are fixed. Who's asking me things on Facebook? I gotta check it. Oh, then they have what's called Instagram. I'm not sure what that is. And tweets. Now we have tweets. The presidential candidates are tweeting. Oh, we have to see what they're tweeting. But all the devices that the devil has provided to gather the eyes together, all the eye candy that abounds and competes for our eyes, even in our dreams. You know, I suppose we dream of what's on posting, what's posted, that we have to answer. But Satan's world is to focus our eyes on ourselves, to focus on that which pleases us. But the faith walk is to be a different walk, a walk where we're to turn our eyes upon Jesus, desiring to please him. Don't you suppose God knew what age we were going to live in when he said, looking unto Jesus, which inferred that we're looking elsewhere. We're looking elsewhere all the time. We need to look at Jesus. You know, it's so easy to only see that which our physical eyes can see, but faith brings us new eyes. You know, when I was born again, all of a sudden, my eyes were bright. All of a sudden, I could see things that I couldn't see before because I was given eyes to see. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Isn't that amazing? But that's what the faith walk will bring. And we see Jesus by seeking first the kingdom of God, priority here, and using those eyes to study God's word and to listen to the instruction of God's word and to see the Lord in prayer. You know, those eyes are for you to see the Lord in prayer. Oh, we close those eyes, but when we close those eyes, we're looking unto Jesus in prayer. You know, we can be so taken in on the things of this world that our faith walk is disturbed. And because of our lack of seeing Jesus, we will fall. If you stop looking unto Jesus, you're going to fall. Each day we will walk by faith, examining ourselves whether we be in the faith. The Bible tells us to do that. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. That ought to be a daily task. How am I doing? Well, examine yourself. Take a look at those weights. Oh, those weights will creep up. They'll get in your pockets. They'll get on your shoulders. They'll get all around you, pulling you down, pulling you down. But each day as we see Jesus, we ought to see our sin and seek the cleansing of forgiveness in order for our faith walk to be successful. Seeing Jesus daily, fixing our eyes on Him, will bring us to remember that He is all in all. He's all in all. When we fix our eyes upon Him, we remember that we are in Christ and that He is in us. He's all in all. What a difference that will make as we walk the walk of faith. You know, the walk of faith is walked under the blood of Christ, which covers us from the attack from the devil. God gave us that blood that we might be covered by it to keep us and protect us along that walk of faith. The walk of faith asks the question of Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God says, this one is mine. Lay off. Take your hands off that one. That's mine. He's an heir of Christ, and He's going to be with me throughout eternity. That's the protection that faith brings. Faith in God, walk the walk of faith. Father, we thank You so much for the walk of faith. We thank You for this great cloud of witnesses who, as we study their lives, we see the result of their faith. We see Your continued helps. We see Your continued care. We see Your continued love of all of these witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses. And Lord, we can rest in that ourselves. We look forward, Lord, to being with You throughout all the endless ages of eternity, for that's where the course of faith will lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.